chapter 17, 1 Samuel 17. Read verses 3 through 12. Very.
Pastor, I don't get to Chicago Church very often, so I wanted to sing another verse.
That's okay. It's okay. 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel 17. We'll read verses 3 through verse 12. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Whole chapter, very familiar, of course, but we'll just read verses 3 through 12. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of the spear was like a weaver's beam, and the spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had 8 sons. The man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. In these verses, of course, or in this chapter, we have the account of David and his encounter with a Philistine by the name of Goliath. There's a story that we all have known from childhood, but this is more than a children's Bible story. This is more than a chorus. This is not a story about underdogs. It is about how we serve a God who's greater than all and who can take care of situations that appear to be hopeless. It is a picture of real life for God's people. It is instruction for God's people. What is contained in this chapter are instructions that, if followed, will enable us to live a victorious life. Not just to help us to survive. I'm afraid that's what many of God's people are trying to do, is just survive. God didn't save us just to survive. God saved us to thrive in this life, and that's what we're to do. And we see many lessons in this chapter that will enable us to do just that. But we see the giants. Here we have a giant by the name of Goliath. Giants appear in all of our lives. There are many, and they are of a great variety. And what we read here is how to deal with and how to overcome the giant. So by looking at this incident in David's life, we can learn some principles about facing that which is threatening, such as the giant of Goliath, that which is discouraging, how that we are able to face these things. Now, Israel was living in giant country. 2 years after they were delivered from the land of Egypt, you remember, 2 years after they were delivered from the land of Egypt, they arrived at the banks of the Jordan River. And all they had to do was cross that river and take the promised land, enjoy the blessings that God had given them. But instead of crossing over, we know the story. They sent in 12 spies. And these 12 spies came back with their report. 10 were absolutely convinced that if we cross over the Jordan River, we will be defeated. And the reason we will be defeated is because giants dwell in the land. Notice, keep a mark there in 1 Samuel, but in the book of Numbers, chapter 13. Here's the report that they brought up in verse 32 and 33. The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came out of the giants, come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. They're saying we cannot cross over. We cannot cross over because giants are living in the land. And the people, of course, gave heed to the negative report of these 10 men. And as a result, They would spend the next 38 years, 40 years in total, they would spend the next 38 years wandering in the wilderness. But you know what? 38 years later, when they came back to the Jordan River, and it was time to cross over, guess what? The giants were still there. Deuteronomy 9, verses 1 and 2 tell us that when they were crossing over, the giants were still there. So what's the point? Well, Israel had fled from these giants 38 years before. Now when their children come back 38 years later, the giants are still there and they have to be faced. And the point is, you can spend your years wandering in a wilderness trying to escape the giants, but after all of your wandering, the giants will still be there. They'll still be there. They are not going away. They'll still be there, and they will still have to be faced. So, after all the wandering, the giants are still there. Now, God, of course, knew the giants were there. Could he have removed the giants before Israel arrived in the land? Of course he could have. But he didn't. He allowed the giants to be there. And you can be sure, the giants that you and I face, we can ask ourselves, why didn't God just remove the giants? Because he wants us to face them. He wants us to face them. He doesn't want us to flee from them and then spend the remainder of our years wandering and then the giants are still there anyway. He wants us to face the giants. So the giants are not there by accident. So we read here in the first 11 verses, we have a description of Goliath. And then we read in verse 12, now, which is a word used to direct our attention, now David. And our attention is drawn away from Goliath to David. I want to speak today on the subject of living in the land of giants. You and I live, just like Israel did, in the land of giants. And just like Israel, we have to face those giants. You have to deal with them in your life. So consider the giants that we live in the land of giants. We see here that Goliath appears before Israel. The Israelites and the Philistines met in the valley of Elah to battle. The Israelites were on one hillside, and the Philistines were on the other hillside. And then there was the valley of Elah in between those two hillsides. Each army, the army of the Israelites, the army of the Philistines, they each had a battle line. And this battle would determine who would serve who. And out of the ranks of the Philistines, a giant by the name of Goliath steps down into the valley. His appearance is described there in verses 4 through 7. He was between 9.5 and 10 feet tall. His armor weighed almost 200 pounds. The head of his spear weighed almost 30 pounds. So we have a 9.5 to 10 foot giant warrior. He's a warrior. He is referred to as a champion in verse 4. He is a champion. He is a giant warrior. He is a massive, enormous, monstrous figure. He is menacing, intimidating, and a very frightening sight to all the Israelites. This was no ordinary soldier. And there he stands in the valley, 9.5 to 10 feet tall, with all of his armor. And we read in verse 16 that the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself for 40 days. For 40 days and 40 nights, this giant covered with brass from head to toe, for 40 days and 40 nights, he taunted and harassed the nation of Israel, the armies of Israel. Every morning, he was there. Every evening, he was there. Twice a day for 40 days. Goliath would step out of the ranks, go down into the valley, and taunt Israel. He had done this 80 times. 80 times, 40 days and 40 nights. He had stepped into that valley and began to taunt Israel for 40 days. Every day for 40 days, Israel's day began with fear and intimidation. That's how their day began. For 40 days, their day ended with fear and intimidation. 40 days and 40 nights, Goliath would step forth and with his booming voice issue his challenge and defy the armies of Israel, taunting and challenging them. He symbolizes the giants that you and I face today. You see, Goliath was a problem. He was a real problem. He was a giant problem. Goliath was a great source of trouble to Israel. Goliath was a great burden to Israel at this time. He was somebody who caused them much worry and anxiety. He is a huge obstacle in their life at this time. He is a stumbling block in their lives. Again, he's a real problem. He's a distraction. He's an irritant. He's a threat. And for 40 days and for 40 nights, he was right there. And I imagine every day that Israel got up, they hoped that Goliath somehow wouldn't be there. But every day they got up, Goliath would step forth into the valley and remind them, I'm still here. I'm still here. You ever had a giant like that? Every day you get up, there's that giant to remind you, I'm still here. And every night you go to bed, that giant reminds you, I'm still here. Goliath would not let them forget that he was still there. And that they were going to have to do something with this giant. Again, we live in a land of giants. A giant can be a problem in our life. It can be an issue. It can be a hurt. It can be a habit. It can be an obstacle. All giants become obstacles. It can be a sin. Giants come in many forms. Giants can take the form of problems and concerns with children. That can be a giant. It can take the form of a problem and concern with parents. That can be a giant. It can take the form of problems and concerns with loved ones. With problems and concerns over our health or over the health of our loved ones. Problems and concerns over finances. All of these can be giants. And they remind us every day, I'm still here. I'm still here. It can be the giant of fear. It can be the giant of loneliness. A giant of doubt. A giant of anger or bitterness. It may be a giant of something that we have to do, a task that we might have to perform. Again, on and on we could go in describing all the forms that giants take. But let there be no doubt, we are living in the land of giants. That's where we live, in the land of giants. Now, Goliath's stature and armor symbolizes the great power of the giants. Goliath stands there, again a massive figure, covered with brass from head to toe, taunting Israel, morning and evening. And Israel did not have the human resources, they did not have the human ability to deal with Goliath. There was no way, humanly speaking, that Israel could defeat and overcome and prevail over this giant. Goliath stood in Israel's way. He stood there in their way. And every day, twice a day, for 40 days, he reminded them, I'm in your way. You can't go any further because I'm here. And giants stand in the way. And just like Goliath, they stand in the way threatening to bring us into captivity, keeping us from living the life that God would have us to live, keeping us from enjoying the life that God would have us to enjoy. These are what the giants do. Now, Israel must face Goliath. We too must face the giants. Again, we've already mentioned, 2 years after leaving Egypt, the Israelites refused to face the giants. They refused to confront the giants. And as a result, they wandered in the wilderness for 38 years. You refuse to confront your giants, you will wander. You will wander in circles, and the giants will still be there. And they will remind you that they're still there. They will not let you forget that they're still there. That's what Goliath did. That's what all the giants do. But in our text, Israel was once again refusing to face a giant. Every day they were hoping somehow, some way, he just wouldn't be there anymore. But it doesn't work that way. He was there. Every day, every night. For 40 days, the entire Israelite army refused to face Goliath. There was Saul, the leader, who stood head and shoulders above all else, we read. There was Jonathan, who on another occasion had slew 20 Philistines all by himself. Saul was not willing to face this giant. Jonathan was not willing to face this giant. There was Abner. Abner was the captain of the host. We are told that Abner later on was a valiant man. Saul, Jonathan, Abner, many other great men in that army. But not one of them would step into that valley. Not one of them would step into that valley and face Goliath. Not one. Oh, I'm sure that they might have thought about it. Perhaps Saul thought, you know, I ought to take the lead here, and I ought to just step down into that valley and confront Goliath. But he didn't. Perhaps Jonathan thought the same thing. Perhaps Abner thought the same thing. But no one did. No one faced this giant. Not one in the entire army. For 40 days, the entire army of Israel refused to face Goliath. And he did not go away. He did not go away. He made his presence known every day. We read in verse 16 that he presented himself for 40 days. That is, he set forth himself, put himself out there in clear view where everyone could see him, refusing to face Goliath. I believe he got more and more bold every day. Every day he got just a little bit louder. Every day he defied them just a little bit more. He became more bold and bold each and every day. His provocation grew by the day. And he got bigger and bigger in their eyes every day. I mean, this man's huge. But I believe as Israel looked at him day after day, he got bigger and bigger and bigger in their eyes. And refusing to face Goliath, he absolutely controlled their lives for 40 days. Every morning he was there. Every evening he was there, and they knew it. And they were being brought under the control of Goliath. For 40 days they are living under the dominion of this giant. And how many today are living under the dominion of a giant? Or living under the dominion of several giants? And what was the result? Their fear was growing by the day. Notice verse 11. The latter part of the verse. They were dismayed and greatly afraid. In verse 24, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him. But it didn't do any good because the next day he was right back there again. But they fled from him and were sore. That word sore means painfully. They were painfully afraid. Their fear grew by the day. David arrives on the scene. By the time David had arrived on the scene, Goliath had presented himself 80 times. David arrived on day 41. And there he was again, presenting himself. Verse 16. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. Then notice verse 23. And as he talked with them, that is, as David talked with the men of Israel, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, I believe on day 41. Goliath by name out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. David heard and David saw this giant. And then he also saw the reaction of Israel. He not only saw and heard Goliath, he saw the reaction of the Israelites. Verse 24 again, we see they all fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man? Have you seen him? Have you seen how big he is? Have you seen his armor? Have you seen his spear? Have you seen him? And they're terrified of this giant. And again, this giant was getting bigger and bigger and bigger in their lives. And each day they were seeing a little bit more. Each day they were hoping that somehow he would not be there, but each day he was there, and each day he appeared bigger than the day before. And their fear was growing. David saw Goliath. David heard Goliath. But I believe David viewed Goliath completely different than that army of Israel. He viewed Goliath as an obstacle. He viewed Goliath as a stumbling block to the will of God. He heard the challenges of Goliath. He heard the blasphemies of Goliath. And he viewed him as someone who was standing in the way of God's business. We need to view our giants that way. These are things that are standing in the way. Standing in the way of me serving God. Standing in the way of me doing God's business. And he said in verse 26, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy, that he should dare defy or disregard or infringe upon the armies of the living God? He saw an uncircumcised Philistine But he also saw the living God. And when you view the two side by side, a nine and a half to 10 foot giant next to the living God, that giant becomes a midget. The giant's not so big anymore. You see, Israel had lost sight of the living God. They had lost sight of the living God, and Goliath was just growing in their minds. He went on, and I believe he came to this realization, it's just foolish. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? It is foolish, it is absurd that this man, an uncircumcised Philistine, that this man should be allowed to hinder the work of the Lord. And David is saying, something has to be done. Somebody has to confront this giant. We live in the land of giants. And we must not permit the devil, the world, the problems of the world, the difficulties and the obstacles to hinder the work of the Lord. To hinder what God would have us to do. To stand in the way of what God would have us to do. To control our lives. And David is saying, man, this is ridiculous. Why should this giant control your life? Who is he that would defy the armies of the living God? So, there he is every day in the valley. I ask you today, what is in your valley? We all have giants. We all have giants. What is in your valley? What is it that keeps you from living the life that God has called you to live? These giants remind us all the time, I'm still here. I'm still here. Just the time you want to rest, there he is. To remind you, I'm still here. You still haven't dealt with me. And he issues his challenges. Goliath has to be faced. And when David decided that he would confront Goliath, David saw the problem. He saw that there was a situation that needed to be dealt with rather than the situation dealing with them. And he said, I will go. And then David had to confront the naysayers, who told him, David, it can't be done. We're doomed. Verse 33, and Saul said to David, thou art not able. David, I know you mean well. And I know your intentions are right, but David, you're not able. This is not possible. You cannot go up against this giant. And every time you try to deal with a giant, there will be the naysayers who will tell you it is no use. It will not work. You are not able. Well, how is it working not facing them? How is it working running from them? That's not working. So you might as well confront them. You might as well deal with the giant that's in your life. So David resolved to face Goliath. In verse 32, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Then David went forth, stepped out into the valley, and faced Goliath. He did so in faith. You remember that Saul tried to get David to wear his armor, and David said, I can't wear these. I can't use these. I've never proved them before. But he said, God has proven himself to me.
There was a time when there was a lion and a bear, and God gave me the strength to defeat that lion and to defeat that bear, and this giant is no different than that lion and that bear. And the same God who gave me victory back then, He will give me the victory over this giant. And he put off the armor of Saul. Oh, how often today the world will always, you talk to them about a giant, and oh, they're going to give you their armor. Oh, try this. This will help. You try what you know will work. And that's God. That'll work every time. David went forth and he said, I come to thee in the name of God. David knew that God was greater than any giant. And whatever giant is in your valley today, you can step into the valley. You can confront that giant knowing, believing, and trusting that God is larger than any giant. He's bigger than any giant. He's more remarkable than any giant. He's more magnificent. He's more superior than any giant. So in the name of God, face the Goliaths of your life. Step into the valley. Whatever the giant is, he reminds you. You know what the giant is. He reminds you every day who he is. None of us can say, well, I probably have some giants in my life, but I don't know what they are. Oh, yes, you do. Because they remind you every day. You know what the giants are. And you know where they are. You need to step into the valley and by faith, full confidence and persuasion that God is able, face the giant. Remember before David stepped into the valley, when everybody was trying to discourage him and falsely accuse him, David looked at them and said, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? What he's saying is can't you all see that there is a reason for someone to step forth and confront this giant? The cause of God is bigger than any giant. Oh, we need to realize today there is a cause. We need to keep our eyes on the cause. Perhaps get our eyes off the giant, keep our eyes on the cause, realize there's a reason, there's a God reason, there's a very good reason why I should step into that valley and face this giant head on. There's a cause. So in closing, we read in verse 50, so David prevailed. That is, he conquered. He overcame. He prevailed over the Philistine. David stepped into the valley, willing to face the giant, and God moved in a supernatural way. That's what it takes to slay giants. It takes God to move in a supernatural way. And I believe that God moves in a supernatural way and topples our giants when you and I are willing to step down into the valley and face the giant in faith and trusting and leaning upon God. And then God moves in a miraculous way. And giants are toppled. God uses men. He used David. He uses men. But you and I today ought to want to be that person. To be the person that God uses to topple a giant. But you got to be willing to step down into the valley. Saul wasn't willing to do that. Jonathan wasn't willing to do that. Abner wasn't willing to do that. None of those Israelite soldiers were willing to step into that valley, but David. David was willing because David saw there's a cause here. There's a cause here, And I cannot allow this man, this uncircumcised Philistine, to hinder the cause of God, to take over the lives of Israel. He said, I will go. And we must come to the realization God's cause is so great that I just cannot sit back and allow the giants in my life to control my life and to ruin my life and to be an obstacle. Step into the valley. That's the first step. No one was willing to make the first step. David was willing to make the first step. Step into the valley. It takes courage. Oh, the courage to step into that valley. It's just like Peter getting out of the boat. Folks, it takes courage to get out of the boat. And it takes courage to step into the valley. Just like when the Israelites crossed the Red Sea, it took some courage to take that first step. But God will bless. You got to take the first step before you can ever take the second. You have to take the first step. And the first step is to step into the valley. Oh, but that's where the giant is. Exactly. And that's where you need to confront him. Where he is. You can't confront him where he isn't. You have to go where he is. And he lets you know where he is. He's not hiding. He's bald. He's brazen. The giants in our life today are brazen. And you know why they're brazen? Because they know most of God's people aren't going to do a thing. They're going to cower in fear. They're going to be just like the Israelites. Did you see him? Did you see how big he is? Did you see the size of that guy's leg? Did you see the size of his arm? And the more they talked to one another, the more fearful they got. They were paralyzed. They were paralyzed by Goliath. And how many today are paralyzed by a giant? Absolutely paralyzed. Isn't it time to step into the valley? And in the name of God, not in our own strength, but in the name of God, confront the giant. Well, Larry, you come and lead us in verse song. Let's